This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It is a book which is marqum, it is mastur, it has been, the lines have been penned, it has been inscribed. Marqum here, it means to be inscribed, it means it's been written, the lines have been written. Okay, if Illiyun is a book, we haven't got a problem, we're all right. Kitabun marqum, it's a book which has been inscribed in it. But what if Illiyin is a place where the righteous people go? Like Ibn Kathir said, or like Ibn Kathir suggested, Jarir, others, that if it's a place where the righteous people go, then here, kitab means here maktub, meaning something which is decreed by Allah. It is a decree that is marqum, Hatman Maqdiya, it has been decreed and it has been finished. Can you tell me if we're okay to go live? It's live now? Okay. We just got a little bit late on the live stream, so if anyone's catching us up from YouTube, you might be starting in the middle of the conversation, but you didn't miss anything, inshallah. We're just revising. كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. It has been decreed and it cannot be changed. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Now the question again is, depending on what is it that the muqarrabun, we know who the muqarrabun are. The muqarrabun are the closest angels. The angels which are the highest of the angels and the angels which are the closest to Allah. يَشْهَدُهُ, they witness it. So if عِلِّيُّون is a place, so يَشْهَدُهُ means they attend it. They are the people in that place. They are the people who are present there, who are around that place, who are watching it, who are there, who are present in that place. They are المقربون, the closest of the angels. They are the people who attend the place which is عِلِّيِّين. If it is a book, then they bear witness to what it contains. يَشْهَدُهُ, they are shuhada, they are witnesses to what the book, this book contains. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, al-abrar. We said last week what al-birr is. That al-birr is a word that often comes along in the Quran with a taqwa. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. It's a word that if it comes together, it goes apart, and if it goes apart, it comes together. That sounds good in Arabic, doesn't sound very make a lot of sense in English, but it's a word that if it's found on its own, it takes the meaning of a taqwa with it. And if it's found in a sentence with another word, the meaning gets divided. Part of it for that and part of it for that. So if we're talking about al-birr wa taqwa, al-birr wa taqwa, then al-birr is all kinds of righteous deeds. And taqwa is keeping away from all kinds of haram. But if al-birr comes on its own, then it's both of them. And if taqwa comes on its own, then it is both of them. So when Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, this includes doing good deeds and keeping away from sins. But when Allah says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, birr is doing good and taqwa is keeping away from sins. Al-Abrar, one of the things we can take from this is the importance of action. Because a person is not considered to be and cannot be given the name of Bar or the word Al-Birr unless they act in accordance with it. You know how people tend to say, look, it's just my heart, my faith is in my heart, Allah knows what's in my heart. No, it's not your heart. Your heart is the start of it. Your heart is what determines your actions. But these people, the reason they are where they are in Jannah is not because only they just had something good in their heart. They were people who did the actions of birr. They did righteousness. They were righteous people. They went and did good things. They kept away from haram. And they did that because of what was in their heart. أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. In the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is upright, the whole body will be upright. And if it's corrupt, the body will be corrupt, and it's the heart. So we shouldn't be those people who we disconnect the actions from Iman. That it doesn't matter about your actions or that your actions are not important. It just matters about what your You know what, my heart is good. Qasdi tayyib, my heart's good. I've got a good intention. It matters what you do with it. But what you do with it will be determined by the purity of your heart. Your actions purify the heart, and the heart purifies the actions. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he called it talazum bayn al-dhahiri wal-batin. It is the connection between your inner self and your outer self. You can't separate those two. They are al-abrar, and they are in al-na'im. Blessing, a state of bliss. A state of bliss, as opposed to a state of punishment. Tayyib, the question here is, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, when he spoke about this ayah, he made it general. He said, this ayah is general, for we're going to keep it general. فِي النَّعِيمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فِي الْبَرْزَخِ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. They are in a state of bliss in the dunya, they're in a state of bliss in the grave, and they're in a state of bliss in the akhirah. And there's no doubt to a certain extent that is true. That is true. Because bliss in the dunya doesn't have to mean necessarily wealth or necessarily, you know, comfort. But they are in a na'im, which is na'imun, which is, it is muqeem, is constantly with them. And that is the bliss of worshipping Allah and the bliss of the relationship in the heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no doubt they are in na'im in the dunya. Even if they are in a state of difficulty, even if they're in poverty, in sickness, they are in a state of na'im. Like the famous statement, some of the Salaf who said, لو علم الملوك ما نحن فيه من النعيم. If the kings knew the happiness that we have, the bliss we have in our hearts, they would have fought for it with the sword. They would have fought us for it with the sword. Maybe we live in poverty, maybe we live in sickness, maybe we live in real hardship. But what is in our heart, you cannot, if the king knew what's in that person's heart, he will come with his army and he will try to steal it by force from the person's heart because of the na'im that person is in, the relationship they have with Allah. However, the majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said this refers to the akhirah, even though it can apply in the dunya and it can apply in the barzakh, but it doesn't apply in the dunya completely, right? In the dunya, the righteous people are in na'im. The na'im of ibadatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bliss of worshipping Allah, the bliss of loving Allah, the bliss of being near to Allah. But that na'im is not complete. They still have times where they're sad, times they don't do it properly, times where they fall down, times where they are, you know, strong, times where they are weak. Likewise in the grave, it becomes more complete, but it's still not absolute. But the absolute na'im, where there is nothing except for bliss, this comes in Jannah. This comes in Jannah. Even though in the barzakh, there is no doubt that the believer who dies with strong iman will have na'im in their grave, no doubt. But it's also not mentioned about the one, how will the person be in the grave who was a mixture of good and bad and so on. For the time when the na'im is na'imun, muqeemun, mutakamil, completely perfect, this is in the akhirah. And so the majority of the scholars of tafsir, إِنَّ الْأَبَرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٌ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, they tie this to the next ayah. That the reason they are in bliss is that they are عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Araik is the plural of arika. And arika, when you look it up in the dictionary, they say sarir. It's a bed or a couch. But what makes it called arika? When does a couch or a bed or a, you know, like cushions or what, when does it become an arika? Some of them said when a canopy is placed over the top. So the person now, and you imagine this, they're not just sitting upon a chair, you know, or sitting upon a bed, or sitting upon a couch. They're sitting upon a couch and they're shaded. There's a canopy over the top of them. Almost like a throne or a place of seating which is, it has a canopy over the top, it's shaded for them. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. What are they looking at? Here we already mentioned, there are two ayat we can connect this to. We can connect it to the statement of Allah, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, that the disbelievers will be veiled from Allah. So they're not looking at Allah. The believers are عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ. They're looking at their Lord. Because they're looking at their Lord, because they've been given what the disbeliever was not given. The disbeliever, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. They are completely unable to see Allah on that day. We said the ayah in Surah Taha, رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. My Lord, why did you raise me blind when I used to be able to see? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Our ayat came to you and you ignored them, and today you will be forgotten, just like you forgot about the ayat of Allah in the dunya. We're going to forget about you in the akhirah. They will not see Allah on that day. Others from the scholars of tafsir, they linked it to the statement, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ النَّعِيمِ. They're looking at the blessings that are all around them. They're looking at the bliss, at the treasures, at the paradise, at the rewards they've been given. And there is no harm in saying both, because these two things don't contradict themselves, right? There is no contradiction. They're looking at Allah. They're looking at their blessings. They're looking at paradise. There is no doubt if they're given an opportunity to look at Allah, they're not looking at anything else. Because the believer, when he looks at Allah, or she looks at Allah, they will not think about anything else. They will forget all of the blessings of Jannah. But in the times that they are not looking at Allah, so they are looking at their blessings they've been given. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You see on their faces the brightness. We said nadra is brightness on the face. It's when your face becomes bright. وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be bright and they will be looking at their Lord. And that's another evidence to say that yanzurun here in the ayah is yanzuruna ila rabbihim. They're looking at their Lord, because Allah said wujuhun yawma idhin nadira ila rabbiha nadira. And there's no doubt the greatest na'im in paradise is to look at Allah. That's the greatest na'im. There's no blessing bigger than that. That's the biggest of the blessings of paradise. So the two of these all comes together. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ. You can see in their face the signs. And there's many times, by the way, that it's mentioned the signs of the believer يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Even before they go to Jannah, you see upon them the signs. The signs. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he called them غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ. That my ummah will be raised غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ. Ghurran, we said, is the plural of agar, someone who has a mark on their face. Originally, it's a word that is used for a horse. When you have a horse that has a patch on its face, this is called agar. And muhajjal, when you have a horse that has a patch, a color of like white on its legs, you call it muhajjal. غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ. They will have white marks on their faces and on their limbs. From what? From the effect of the wudu. From the wudu, the place they used to make wudu. So the wudu will give them a brightness on their face that will make them like the horse that has a patch of color on its face and a patch of color on its legs. Because of the wudu. the effect of the sujood. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, the effect of the sujood on the person. So these things, the things that the believer will be known by. And likewise the disbeliever will be known. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, the criminals will be known by their characteristics, by something about them that you will know that person, what they were upon. فَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ, no one will be asked about their sin on that day. No one will be asked on that day about their sin. Some of them said the reason they will not be asked is that you can see, for you don't need to ask the person that were you a righteous person or were you a bad person. You can see upon their face, immediately you know upon the face that this was a righteous person or that this was a wicked person. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ, the brightness of bliss. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ, this refers to the drink or one of the drinks that will be provided to the believers يوم القيامة. There are many different actually drinks described, right? Different things that are described, drinking from the hawd is described, drinking from the pool of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every prophet has a pool. لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوْض, every prophet has a pool. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talked about how big his hawd is. From Ayla to Sana'a in Yemen, meaning from Syria to Yemen, long, and from Syria to Yemen, wide. This is mentioned. As for this ayah, Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtoom, then what is mentioned about it is that this is the wine that the believers will be given to drink Yawm al-Qiyamah. And there's a theme in that. And the theme in it is that things you were prevented from in this life, Allah made wine haram for you, you cannot drink wine. Allah Azza wa Jal will replace it for you Yawm al-Qiyamah with something much, much better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with, as Allah said, خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ, a wine that is tasty to the one who drinks it. لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ, it doesn't have any intoxication in it. It doesn't cause anyone to get a hangover, to get a headache, to feel unwell. So it's not like the wine of this world. And that's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, there is nothing in Jannah from what is in the dunya except for names, illa al-asma. In other words, we call it wine, but it doesn't resemble the wine of this world at all. The wine of this world is not ladhatin lish-sharibin. It's not a pleasure for the people who drink it. It's not something which has no harm in it or no causes no sickness or headache. Or it's something which intoxicates people. It's something which is not pleasant. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the believers a wine, rahiqin makhtum. This wine, it is makhtum. It is sealed. Here, some of the scholars of tafsir, they said it is sealed, meaning nobody can open it except them. That is one opinion. They said makhtum here, it means that nobody can open it except them. It's sealed for them. It's something which is unique, unique for them. I'm going to see what here we will read from Ibn Kathir, what he said. He said, Ibn Kathir, he said, وَالرَّحِيقُ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ الْخَمْرِ. The Ar-Rahiq is one of the names for wine. He said this was said by Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas, Mujahid and Al-Hasan al-Qatada, Ibn Zayd. And here, the Ibn Kathir, he mentions the hadith of Imam Ahmad from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّمَا مُؤْمِنٍ سَقَى مُؤْمِنًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ عَلَى ظَمَأٍ سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الرَّحِيقِ الْمَخْتُومِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that whoever gives a believer a drink when they're thirsty, Allah will give them to drink from الرحيق المختوم. طيب, this word مختوم, he said there are two, there are, when I say two opinions, there are more than two, but I mentioned two just to bring it to two. One is that مختوم here, it means it's closed, it's sealed. Like you buy, you know, you buy something in the shop, it's sealed, you can't, until you open it, it's closed. You can't, nobody else can open it until you open it. It's مختوم. The other is that the مختوم here refers to the next ayah, ختامه مسك. So here, ختامه مسك, that it is sealed with مسك, and sealed with misk, or that the end of it, khitamuhu, the end of it is misk. I.e. when they drink from it, the last sensation that they will have will be that of misk. Khitamuhu, misk. The last sensation that they will have, the taste or the smell, the last thing that they will sense from it is misk. The end of it comes like misk. Khitamuhu misk. Or that it is sealed with misk. It's not sealed with a plastic lid. Yeah? It's not sealed with a plastic lid like a milk carton. Khitamuhu misk. It's sealed with musk. It's sealed with musk. Khitamuhu misk. Or that the last, that the end of it, the taste of it, will be that of musk. ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. Hey, we're coming to it, inshallah. Don't worry, inshallah, we're coming. ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. That's if that comes first. The ayah. ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. In this, let the people compete. Tanafus is competing with each other, right? What are you competing for? What did Allah tell us about some of the things people are competing for? الهاكم التكاثر الذي جمع ماله وَعَدَّدَ. The one who's competing to get money, the one who's just trying to get so much money, the one who is trying to just compete with people in the things of the dunya. I want more children than you, I want more money than you, I want more friends than you, more followers than you, more qualifications than you. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. What should you be competing for? What should we be competing with each other in? In money, in children, in wealth, in qualification, in friends. Competing with each other to get الرحيق المختوم, to get this pure wine, to drink it upon thrones that are shaded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see on your faces the look of pleasure, to be in a state of eternal bliss, to look at the face of Allah. That's what you should be competing with each other for. Not competing with each other for the dunya and the children and the money. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ, the one who just got all the money together and just counted it in front of the people. The thing that you should be, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمِ. مزاجه من تسنيم. ابن كثير, he said, ومزاج هذا الرحيق الموصوف من تسنيم, that this wine that has been described to you is mixed with تسنيم. We're going to come to what تسنيم, because Allah Azza wa Jal explains to us what it is in the next ayah, that it is mixed with تسنيم. أي من شراب يقال له تسنيم وهو أشرف شراب أهل الجنة وأعلى. It is the best of the drinks of the people of Jannah and the highest of them. The best drink that you will have in Jannah is the drink of تسنيم. عينا يشرب بها المقربون. It is a spring that those who are the closest to Allah will drink from. So Tasneem is a spring in Jannah. And according to some of the scholars, Al-Dahhak and others, it is the highest of the springs of paradise and the best of it. And that it is the best of the drinks of the people of paradise. What are some of the drinks of the people of paradise? There is the milk that doesn't go bad, honey, water which is pure and sweet, wine which doesn't make you intoxicated. Many drinks that are mentioned from the drinks of the people of paradise. يُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا. They will be given a كأس, yani a glass of wine. The highest of them is Tasneem, which is a spring from the highest place in paradise, and it is a spring which those who are the closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, or those who have been brought close to Allah, will drink from. Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas, they said that it will be mixed for Ashab al-Yameen. And that appears to me, and Allah knows best, that they say that those who will drink from it directly, and Allah knows best, that's what I understood from it. Those who will drink from it directly are al-Muqarrabun. And that for all of the people of Jannah, it will be mixed for them. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِي. And it doesn't have to be like that. And it can be that some people will drink from it directly and they will drink from it mixed with other things. And he mixed with other drinks from the drinks of paradise, or mixed with other things from the things of paradise. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِي. عَيْنَا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal returns to the matter of the dunya. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Those criminals who they did all kinds of crimes against the Muslims, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they made partners with him, they worshipped others besides him. Those people who expelled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah, who tortured the Muslims in Makkah. What did they do towards the believers? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. They laughed at them. Not just in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallah, until today, whether you're looking at it from the point of, let's look for example in the stories of the prophets. Nuh alayhi salam, he started to build his ship in the desert. They made fun of him. They came by him laughing at him. Likewise, the stories of the prophets you go through many times, you see Fir'aun and Musa. You see times when they made fun of the believers. They laughed at them. They ridiculed them. And until today, subhanAllah, even among the Muslims, sadly, and those Muslims who are not practicing Islam properly, the first day somebody grow a beard and say, oh look, see, you think you're righteous, you think you're a sheikh, you think you're this or that, you start talking, laughing at him, making fun of him, or you go into the masjid now, you're going to give the khutbah next week. Wallah, brothers in this masjid. That's what we saw. First time the brother came, he said, I'm going to try and come more to the masjid. He said, oh, you think you're sheikh, you're going to give the khutbah next week, look at you now, who do you think you are? He's making fun of someone because of what? Because he's trying to be a person of iman. And no doubt this happens from the Muslims, but it happens more, even more from the non-Muslims. You walk down the street with a beard, somebody shouts, Usama, ya Taliban, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. They're laughing at you. Then Allah Azza wa Jal described more about them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. When they pass by them, يَتَغَامَزُونَ. الْغَمْز here, what it means, يَتَغَامَزُونَ, is it means to gesture with your eyes or with something else. To make a gesture, like to roll your eyes or to like make a face, or to point, or to make a joke at somebody. That's what these people did. And this, from this, more than one of the scholars they took from this, that this is not, should never be the behavior of a Muslim ever. Like a Muslim should never ever do that towards anyone. Like be someone that when they walk by, they make faces behind their back, or they roll their eyes at them, or they like, you know, look at them, or they give them a look, or they move their head at them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. They glance at them, they roll their eyes at them, they gesture at them. Some of the scholars said it doesn't have to be with the eyes. Usually, ghamz is with the eyes. But it doesn't have to be with the eyes. It can be with the hands, it can be with the head. They're making faces at them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. Hafs here, the recitation we are most accustomed to, we usually recite. He read here فَكِهِينَ, and the majority they read فَكِهِينَ. فَكِهِينَ. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. We need these two words. We need to know what these two words mean. Fakihin and Fakihin. So, some of the scholars, they mentioned that one of the meanings around these two words, and we'll come to what the difference between each one is. One of them, it refers to Mu'jabin, or Mu'jibin, people who are impressed with themselves. They're impressed with themselves. So when these people have finished laughing at the believers and they have finished pointing at them and rolling their eyes at them and making faces at them, they go back to their families impressed. Impressed by what? Impressed by their own actions. This is one opinion. So these scholars of tafsir who said impressed by their own actions, they linked the two ayat together. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. Meaning that they were so impressed with what they did. Oh, did you see what we laughed at that guy? We said this, we called him this name, we made a face at him, we shouted at him, we hit him while he was praying. They are impressed with their own actions. Others, they said, that the meaning of Fakihin is to say that they are they were arrogant. They return back to their family, fakihin. Like they said, بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ الأشر and بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ بَطَر this, the بَطَر and the أَشِر the one who is like arrogant and insolent and looks down on other people. This is one. The ones this, that it refers to arrogance and insolence and looking down on other people. Ibn Kathir, he didn't take either of those two. Ibn Kathir, what he said is that they returned fakihin, i.e. they returned in a state of blessing, in a state of na'im, meaning na'im in the dunya, not na'im, not the na'im of the love of Allah or the worship of Allah or the na'im of the akhirah. They just were like, he said that if they ask for something, they get it. This is what Ibn Kathir, he said. He said something like, إِذَا طَلَبُوا شَيْئًا وَجَدُوا. If they look for something or they seek something out, it's there for them. They were in a state of completely relaxed in this worldly life. They go back to their family, whatever they want, they have it in front of them. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ. When they see them, they say, these people are ضَالُونَ. These people are misguided. This is part of the fun that they made of the believers, right? They laughed at them, they made gestures, and they called them names. There's an interesting point on this. When it comes to sort of making fun of people, some of the scholars, they mentioned it from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُؤًا. They took it from this statement in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Musa said to his people, Allah commands you to sacrifice a cow. They said, are you taking us for a joke? قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. They said, when Musa said, I seek refuge with Allah from being from the ignorant, what this means is that a sign of a person's ignorance and misguidance is that they make fun of other people. يستهزئون. And this issue of istihza is a really serious issue, which Allah alludes to it in the surah. Inna alladhina ajramu kanu min alladhina amanu yadhakun, making fun of other people. Yataghamazun. Wa idha ra'awhum qalu inna ha'ula ila dalun, making fun of people, name calling, making faces at people. This istihza, making fun of other people, is a very, very serious thing. When Musa was accused of making fun, what did he say? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek Allah's refuge from being from the ignorant people, because the sign of the ignorant people is this issue of istihza, making fun of other people, looking down on other people, being arrogant towards other people, making fun of other people. This is the sign of someone who is from the jahileen, from the ignorant people. When those, and this is really to, you know, it's like the icing on the cake, that after all of this making fun of them and causing them harm and saying evil words to them and glances at them, after all of that they say, Inna ha'ula'i ladalun, these people are misguided. Do you see the irony in that statement of theirs? how ironic it is. They are the ones making fun of someone. They are the ones making faces and pointing at people. They are the ones laughing at people because they're people of Iman. And then on top of that, they say, "Ha'ula ila dalun." These people are misguided. When in all, anyone who has any degree of intellect can see, the action of those people is misguided. Aside from the issue of religion, aside from the issue of belief, the very fact that you spend your whole day making fun of those believers, laughing at them, pointing at them, name calling, hurting them, harming them, and then you say about those people, "Inna ha'ula'i ladalun." These people are misguided. When in fact they are the ones who are misguided. Look at how Allah Azza wa Jal blinded them to the truth, that they believe the Muslims to be misguided when this is what they were doing all the time. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They were not sent to, some of the scholars they said, to record their deeds. They were not sent حَافِظِينَ عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. They were not sent to record and preserve the deeds of those Muslims. This ayah really is a rebuke for getting involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in. Like the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, "من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني." From the perfection of a person's faith is leaving the thing that doesn't concern you. Look at those people. From the things you can understand from this ayah, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. Ibn Kathir mentioned it, others mentioned it, that you can see that the shughl of these people, what made them busy all day, was the believers. All day, these people, shughluhum ash-shaghil, the thing that keeps them busy all day is the believers. What are the believers doing? Making fun of them, torturing them, hurting them, laughing at them, pointing at whatever they can do, but they have nothing else to do except to cause harm to the believers. And that's why Allah rebuked them and said, "وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ." We didn't send you to record their deeds. We didn't send you to preserve their deeds. The angels are recording who is doing what. We didn't send you with the job, so why are you so interested in what these people are doing? Why are you so concerned with everything they do all the time? Making fun of them and concerning yourself over their deeds. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They weren't sent, you weren't sent to do that. Allah didn't send them to look over their deeds, to like watch over what they're doing, or to record all the deeds that they're doing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the situation of the believers. Ibn Kathir before that, he said, "وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ أي وَمَا بُعِثَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ حَافِظِينَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَا يَسْطُرُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَأَقْوَالِهِمْ وَلَا كُلِّفُ بِهِمْ فَلِمَ اشْتَغَلُوا بِهِمْ وَجَعَلُوهُمْ نَصْبَ أَعْيُنِهِمْ or نَصْبَ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. Ibn Kathir, he said, these criminals were not sent to guard for the believers their deeds and their statements, and in other words, to record carefully what they're saying. Nor were they sent to be responsible for them. So why do they make themselves busy with the believers, and why is all of their attention focused on the believers? As Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًّا حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تضحكون إني جزيتهم اليوم بما صبروا أنهم هم الفائزون. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, there was a group of my servants who said, "Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us and have mercy on us, and you are the best of those who have mercy." And then this is the shahid. Ibn Kathir brings it in this same ayah in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيَّةً. You took them as a mockery, to make mockery of them. And this statement, فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ, it's very emphatic. It doesn't mean you just made fun of them once or twice. You made it your shughl, your concern every single day and every moment. You just made your attention and your concern to make fun of the believers and to make a mockery of them. And what are they mocking? They're mocking the religion of Allah. And this is one of the dangers of making fun of other people. You know, sometimes some of the, and it's, you know, sometimes different people among us, we have joke personality that's a bit, you know, funny personality, like to have a joke, like to have a laugh. The problem is when you start to make fun of other people, in the end, the risk is you'll make fun of the religion of Allah. When you make fun of other people, the risk in the end risk is going to be what? That you're going to fall into istihza', al-istihza'u bid-deen, making fun of the religion. And then the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't make any excuses, you disbelieved after you believed. So this issue of just making fun of people, and it's a danger, it's a slippery slope, because it can lead to making fun of the religion. I mean, how can it be? This is strange, isn't it? How can it be that the believer causes the disbeliever not to remember Allah? That's the ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun. The believer causes the disbeliever to forget Allah. Because the disbeliever makes so much fun of them and so much attention on them and so much harm to them, that in the end, because of that constant attention on them, أنسوهم ذكري. They حتى أنسوكم ذكري وكنتم منهم تضحكون. Until they caused you to forget my remembrance, and then you used to laugh at them. And then Allah said, إني جزيتهم اليوم بما صبروا أنهم هم الفائزون. And just like in Surah Al-Mu'minun, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the end result of the disbelievers making fun of the believers and the disbelievers laughing at them, the end result is that those believers ended up from the people of Jannah and those disbelievers ended up the people of the fire. Likewise in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding these people, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. فَالْيَوْمْ Ibn Kathir, he said, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of resurrection, those who believe will laugh at those who disbelieve. Now the tables are turned. Those people that used to make fun of them, they used to make fun of the way they worshipped, they used to make fun of the way that they behaved, they used to call them names and gesture towards them and laugh at them. Now يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, it turned around. Now the believers are the ones who are عَلَى الْأَرَائِهِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They are sitting, reclining on their couches which are shaded. They are drinking from the wine of paradise. And they are laughing now at the disbelievers and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, or given the two in contrast. And he's given the believers from the blessings and given the disbelievers from the punishments. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Reclining upon their shaded canopies or couches, looking, i.e., like Ibn Kathir, he said, أي يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Ibn Kathir, it's interesting here, because we had a principle, right, that there's no tikrar in the Qur'an, there's no repetition in the Qur'an. Nothing is repeated for no reason, yani tikrarun mahd, like pure repetition. There's no repetition in the Qur'an. Every ayah has a different, that has the same words, has a different reason for it. So the first one, إِنَّ الْأَبَرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. This is to describe the blessing of the believers. They are reclining on these couches with canopies and they are getting these blessings. Why then is the second time mentioned? عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Ibn Kathir, he said, فِي مُقَابَلَةِ مَنْ زَعَمَ فِيهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ ضَالُونَ. He said, this one, it goes with the fact that when they said, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ, these are misguided. When in fact, where did this misguidance lead them to? عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. It led them to be the ones who are sitting on couches with canopies and the wine of paradise, and these people to be from the people of the fire. So Ibn Kathir, he said, the first one, it relates to the blessings, that it's talking about the blessing. This is the blessing, this is the blessing, this is the blessing they're getting. The second one is talking about in response to the fact that the disbelievers said, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ. These people are misguided. When in fact they are not misguided, they are not ضالون. They are عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Ibn Kathir, he said, بَلْ هُمْ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. Rather, they are from the close beloved of Allah. يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ فِي دَارِ كَرَامَتِهِ. They're looking at their Lord in the place of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them these blessings and this honor, the place, the home of honor. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Ibn Kathir, he said, meaning, هَلْ جُوزِيَ الْكُفَّارُ عَلَى مَا كَانُوا يُقَابِلُونَ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ الْإِسْتِهِزَاءِ وَالْتَنَقُّصِ أَمْ لَا. It's a rhetorical question. Have the disbelievers been given their recompense? Recompense meaning their punishment for what they used to do. The answer is, no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the recompense of the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them in the fire because of what they used to do towards those believers and because of their disbelief towards Allah and what they did towards the ayat of Allah and how they made fun of the religion of Allah. And Allah put them in the fire. So now do we think that the disbelievers got what they deserve? They got what they deserve. And from this, one of the points of benefit we can take, one of the benefits we can take from this is that we should have confidence that whoever goes to the fire and remains in it forever, they are there because they deserve it. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارِ. They were given the thawab, that they were given the jaza that they deserve. They were given the recompense that is exactly deserving for what they did. What they did, that is what they got. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord doesn't oppress anyone. So that brings us to the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll be continuing on. I think we are to Surah Al-Infitar, right? Inshallah we'll be continuing next week. Did anyone have any questions or anything that they wanted to ask or anything I said didn't make sense? I will try my best to answer. You can see if anyone on the YouTube channel has anything. Yumzaju. Like it's mixed in with it. So some of them, they said that this tasneem, which is the spring, aynan, it's a spring, right? This water from this spring will be mixed in with other things from the foods of Jannah or from the drinks of Jannah. Either it's mixed in with the rahiq, the khamar, the wine, or it's mixed in with other things from the foods of the people of paradise. Some of them, and I didn't find it clearly, but what I understood until now is that some of them, they said that those who will drink it pure are the closest of the people to Allah, and that others from the people of Jannah, they will drink it mixed. They will drink it a mizaj. They will drink it as a mix. And that some people will drink from it directly. They will drink from it pure. I didn't find yet, I'm going to research it more, if that is what it means, the highest of the people in paradise, they will drink from it directly, and that the others will drink from it as a mix. That's I found some of the statements like that. That's what it indicated. But it needs some research, because I didn't yet get a clear answer on that. And Allah knows best.
I mean, so that's why it's tasneem is the highest drink in Jannah, because it's mixed.
Not because it's mixed. The statement that it's the highest drink in Jannah, this is a statement from some of the scholars. Al-Tahaq said it, and others. I don't recall the evidence for it. Like, I don't recall, other than that generally some of the Salaf said it, some of the scholars said it. But I don't remember, like, that there is a hadith that says necessarily that this is what it is. But within the statements of the scholars of tafsir, they say this. They say that the best of the drinks of the people of paradise and so on. But I think they took it from the statement of Allah, عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Because here, the way this is mentioned is that this is the drink of the muqarrabin, like the closest of the people to Allah. So, and it seems like it is from the best of the drinks of the people. I think that's where they took it from, when Allah knows best. Maybe there are other reasons, there are other evidences. But this is a statement, Dhahak said it, rahimahullah ta'ala, to the one or two others from the scholars of tafsir. They said that this is the highest of the drinks of the people of paradise. Allah knows best. Bayak. Anything from the... Okay. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for us to mention. Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.